Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
A minister ended the service one morning by saying, next Sunday, I'm going to preach on the subject of liars. And in preparation of my discourse, I would like all of you to read the 17th chapter of Mark. On the following Sunday, the preacher rose to begin and said, now then, all of you who have done as I requested and read the 17th chapter of Mark, please raise your hands. Nearly every hand in the congregation went up. And the pastor said, you're the people I want to talk to. There is no 17th chapter of Mark. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, tell the truth and shame the devil. Amen. I want to preach on get to work. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Tomorrow is Labor Day. Or as it was in my house growing up, is the day that you don't go to school and I get twice as much work out of you as I normally do. I remember my father, I'm going to say this over here because he's sitting over there. I remember my father coming in, waking me up before the sun rose, right as the sun was rising, and he'd say, get up, it's time to go to work. Dad, it's Labor Day. I know that means we work twice as hard, and we'd get up and we'd clean stalls and we'd build fence and we'd stack hay and we'd do all of those things. And as you know, it's still 100 degrees in September around Labor Day, and I mean, we're just out there working. And so work has always been a part of my life. One of my friends this week was saying, I admire you and your family's work ethic. He said, I just can't do that. And I thought, you don't really want to tell people that you can't work, that you don't want to work. And then I look at his life, and I can see that he doesn't work, and he doesn't have much to show for his life. Work is important because work brings us to production. Here James, the brother of Jesus, is talking and telling us that faith, as important as faith is not being accompanied by works is dead being alone. Because a lot of faith is words. It's what we believe, but faith without action or faith without works, he said, is dead because it is by himself. I always hear good things come to those who wait, but I've said great things come to those who work. Heard somebody say, the harder I work, the luckier I get. Now, I believe in blessing, but I do believe there's some luck in life. However, there's no luck in Indianapolis for the Colts, but there is luck in life. For all you football fans, I just had to throw that out there. It's been a while since I made a sports reference. The harder I work, the harder you work, the luckier you will get. Because when you work hard and you start really focusing your energy on a project and focusing your energy on something, good things begin to show up. And it's not really luck that happens. It's just that you're working at a rate now where you are producing things that used to you could not or would not produce based on your level of work. There are no secrets to success. It is the result of preparation, hard work, and learning from failure, Colin Powell said. Robert Griffin III said, hard work pays off. Hard work beats talent any day. But if you're talented and you work hard, you are hard to beat. I love that. If you're talented and work hard, maybe you're not talented, but you're anointed. And when the anointed people of God begin to work and they set their mind towards something and put their hand towards something and begin to work the faith that God has given them, you are an impossible foe for the enemy to defeat. Because most of the people that I know that talk a lot about God are really spiritual, but they're not putting a lot of practical work behind it. And you know you're going to have to eventually put your hand to the plow and not just talk about all the things that God's going to do, but say, God, I know you're getting ready to do this, but while I'm waiting, I am going to work. I am going to serve. I am going to do what I can do. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, do what you can do. One of the greatest success stories of our time is Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who literally 20, 23 years ago, I think we had $17 in his pocket, had just been cut from a semi-pro football team. Vince McMahon from the WWE calls him and makes him a multimillionaire, but The Rock takes that work ethic to Hollywood and becomes a multimillionaire. The highest paid actor for the last few years running. And this is what The Rock would say, success isn't always about greatness. It's about consistency. Consistent hard work leads to success and greatness will come. If you want to be great, you must consistently work hard. It's hard enough to keep our faith level at the operate at the level it's supposed to operate at. But it's a whole nother thing when our work ethic has to match our level of faith. There's a lot of people who are frustrated with life because you hear great word from Bishop and you hear great podcasts from other people and it fires your faith up. And then you step out into the scene and you're declaring this and you're saying this and nothing is happening because you expect in faith for God to do everything, but we are responsible for nothing. But this is not that church. You are not those people. When we rise up and declare in faith, we say, God, I want you to do everything you can do, and God, you can guarantee that I'm going to do everything I can do to bring about the promise of God. I love the saying that I'm going to believe like it depends on God, but I'm going to work like it depends on me. And when my belief and faith matches work, my work ethic, good things are going to show up. Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it. One translation says to work it and to keep it. Even in paradise, in a perfect place, God still required Adam to work. Can I encourage you that you will never outgrow work? It doesn't matter if you live to be 85 years of age. You got to find something for your hands to do. You might not be working 40 hours a week. You might not be sweating, and you might not have a lot of physical labor, but you need to find something for your hands to do. You need to find something for your mind to be focused on, because I believe the harder and longer you work, the longer you live, which means the more blessing, the more time you get to spend on this earth doing God's work. The wisest man in the Old Testament, Solomon, said this, Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither you go. You can't take it with you. You got to work on this side of the grave. You can't work after. You got to do it on this side of the grave. This is what Solomon said, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. How many of you are competitive people? I come from a family of competitors. It doesn't matter if it is basketball or Monopoly. We want to win. Doesn't matter if it's checkers or the stock market. We want to win. Pastor Mandy and I don't play a lot of games together because I'm too competitive. It's not good for our marriage when we play games. Because I've taken this verse to heart. Whatever I do, I want to be great at it. And we should approach life that way. And our faith in God should make us or require or put in us a desire to live that way. That whatever I do, I want to be great at it. I was talking to one of the young men between services, and the woman who brings him to church said, hey, this young man had a bad week. He's not listening at school, and he's getting up and walking around the room and leaving class when he's not supposed to. And so I just took about 3 minutes. And I don't know what his home life's like, but I became his dad for about 3 minutes at the visitor's table. And I said, look, man, I said, at this point, this is your job. School is your job. And when you show up to school, you got to put your best foot forward. Because if you acted like this on your job, you would be fired. You would not have a way to pay your bills. You would end up homeless. And so you've got to fix this at 13 and 14 years of age. So when you show up at school on Tuesday morning, I said, you don't have to like being there, but when you put your hand to it, you've got to work it as much as you can. Can I encourage Living Way? Whatever you're involved in, man, I'm in a dead-end job. Well, listen, there is no such thing as a dead-end job. Bust the end out of that thing and work that thing until God gives you another job or God makes a way when you become unstoppable and bust through that thing. Some of us are waiting on God to do something great, and God's just saying, I'm waiting for you to be great where you're at. A lot of times we depend on the greatness of God, and God is saying, just be great where you're at. Do what you can where you're at with what you have, and I promise you there is a brighter day and a better day ahead, but you've got to work and be consistent where you are. Somebody say amen. Colossians 3:23, the wisest man in the New Testament, Paul says this, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. I think a lot of us lose sight that we are put on this earth to be worshipers of God, not just with our lips, not just with our posture on Sunday mornings or in a worship service, but we are literally called to worship God with our lives. So that means everything that I do should be bringing glory to the name of God. I think a lot of us have forgot that because we kind of phone it in. and we do kind of a lackluster job in some places because we don't like where we're at and we don't like this job and I wish I didn't have to flip burgers. Be the best burger flipper and you'll become manager. Be the best manager and you'll become regional manager. Be the best regional manager and you'll become GM. All you have to do is be great at the level. If you are the greatest at the level you are, God is going to elevate you. And it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing around you. If you don't like where you're at, you can get out of where you're at just by being great, being the greatest, and doing something you might not even like. But it's not going to be forever. And it's not unto man. You say, well, I can't make it in life making $9 an hour flipping burgers. You were never meant to make it in life making $9 an hour flipping burgers. It is an entry-level position to get you on the road to success, and you ought to only flip burgers for about 90 days before you are elevated. I'm talking to somebody. You might not be flipping burgers physically, but in the spiritual, you might be at this level saying, God, I want to go to the next level. How do I get there? And God is saying, I need you to get to work at the level you are on, and when you rise to the top of that level, I'll break the ceiling and you can go to the next level. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that the Lord, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. The reason that I work for God and not for men is men can't pay me what I'm worth. Men can't pay you what you're worth. It's impossible. You're worth more than the company makes. You're a child of God. You're an ambassador. He said, I've come to give you life and life in its abundance, life in its fullness, life in the overflowing state, exceeding abundance, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power of the Christ that works in us. Oh, I love that. I wasn't even going to preach that, but let's just preach that for a minute. According to the power of Christ that works in us. If I've got Christ working on the inside, then I need to start working on the outside, and my level of work on the outside has to match his level of work on the inside, because I am an ambassador. I am a showcase. I am a centerpiece on God's table. I don't work for man because he can't pay me what I'm worth. But the Bible says that I do it heartily as unto the Lord, because he will reward me. And my inheritance comes from Christ. And so when I look around at everybody else and everybody else is whining about the economy and I wish we could get to this place and I wish my job would do this place, you and your family can live in what the Old Testament called Goshen. And you're saying everybody else is lacking, but here I am in the hand of God. God is providing for me. I'm living at a level that nobody else is living at. I'm living at a level my parents never dreamed of. I'm living at a level my brothers and sisters stopped short of. But here I am, all because I decided to work in faith what God had given me. Quit waiting for God to bring you everything and start working whatever you've got in your hand. Let's go further. Proverbs 12:11. He that tills his land shall be satisfied with bread. He that works the land will be satisfied with bread. But he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded, that if any would not work, he would not eat. We used to live down Walsham Road. I've shared this story many times, and I was just probably 4 or 5 years old, and that was back before everybody wore seatbelts all the time. And Pastor Becky told us a story of back in the days when Sean was born, they didn't even have car seats. They didn't require any. So she said she would just put little swaddled Sean on the front seat next to her, and every once in a while she'd slam on those brakes, and Sean would just roll in the floorboard. That explains a lot about Sean now. I'm just putting some things to. No, just kidding. I mean, that really happened, but I'm just kidding about the. And so I remember standing on the wheel well between Mom and Dad, and we pulled up 35 in Walsham, and there was like a 340-pound man, and he had a sign, and it said, "We'll work for food." And I just said to my 4-year or 5-year-old thinking, I said, "Daddy, I think that guy's been working too much." The Bible says this: if you don't work, you don't eat. We love to take that down to the most simplistic terms, that if you don't have a job, you're going to die of starvation physically. It can mean that. But how about, let's talk about this: if we don't work, faith, we don't eat the fruit of the promised land. that if we don't work what God has given us, God has given Romans 12:3, every man has a measure of faith. Meaning that everybody in this room today has something they can work. Now, you might not have as much faith as Billy Graham, but God's not comparing you to Billy Graham. God is saying, I'm wanting to feed you something brand new. I'm wanting to feed you something you've never had. I'm wanting to take you somewhere you've never gone. And so if I want to go somewhere I've never gone to eat fruit I've never eaten, I need to work at a level, praise God, that I've never worked at. I need to work that faith on days that are not Sunday. I need to work that time other than 11 to 12:30 on a Sunday morning. I need to work faith when all hell is breaking loose against me. I need to work faith when all things are going good as God said that they would go. I need to work faith when I'm digging the knife that somebody put in my back out. I need to work faith when the greatest relationship of my life walks in. I need to work faith on the top. I need to work faith on the bottom. Why? Because when I work faith, God said, I promise you, if you work the faith that I've given you and you put your hand towards something, you are going to eat the food you've never eaten in your life. Mandy made a mistake this week on our trip. There's an Applebee's next to the hotel. I only go to Applebee's when it's the only option. And so we went to Applebee's. Let me tell you what you do when you go to Applebee's or Chili's. You get the appetizer platter and that's it. That's all you do. She ordered a steak and shrimp. See, Mandy's used to eating at Ruth Chris and Outback and Saltgrass. Applebee's is not really high, and if you manage at Applebee's, I am so sorry. I apologize. Let's get together and work through this so we can get some better quality beef in your establishments. And so she took one bite of it and said, ooh, it's gritty. She said, that thing's full of tendons. I don't even know if that's something, but she said it's full of tendons. She shoved it back. Tyler said, well, I'll eat it. Now, Tyler's like our resident garbage disposal. Tyler took one bite of it and said, ooh, I can't eat that. I said, man, this steak must be really bad. She was used to eating steaks at this level. Can I tell you that when you operate and work your faith and God elevates you, you can never go back. Because you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And now that I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, I can't go back to Applebee's when I know there's a perfectly good Ruth Chris steak out there. You can't go back to the will. I can't. Oh, come on. I can't eat the man of God. I've been to the promised land. I don't want to have to chase the quails. I've been to the promised land. Can I encourage somebody? You might have worked at a level. You might have fallen back, backslid a little bit. But I'm here to tell you today's going to be the greatest comeback of your life. God's going to re-elevate you to the position you once held, and you've got great things ahead of you when you work your faith and you get to work on what God has given you. Tell them, don't eat the Applebee's steak. You never thought you'd declare that, did you? If you don't work, you don't get to eat, for we hear, verse 11, that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all. I love what he says here, working not at all, but they are busybodies. So they appear to be working. Remember what it was like when you had a dish in front of you that you didn't like, Brussels sprouts, whatever, asparagus, rhubarb, I don't know what it was. And you would push it around on your plate and try to make it look like you've eaten some. And then you would wad up that napkin. Actually, you wouldn't wad it up. You'd leave it kind of big and you'd put it on your plate to cover everything you didn't want to eat. And we acted like we were eating, but we weren't eating. And we weren't eating the most nutritious thing on our plate, which was going to give us energy, give us protein, help us become stronger, help us become better. There are people in the kingdom of God that like to act like they're busy. Oh, thank you very much. I will. There are people in the kingdom of God that want to act like they're making big waves. And God said that is a disorderly walk. And he said, I do everything in decency and in order. And so you've got to have faith and then you work. You cannot work without faith because work will produce nothing without being combined with faith. It will not profit. And so those that are busy are those that are out there making a dollar or maybe making $1 million. And it looks like they're doing great things, but because they're not doing it in faith, they're just busy, not productive.
See, there's a lot of people that are busy and not productive, and this is the problem with being busy and not productive. The problem with being busy and not productive is when we are busybodies, we give the look, we make people feel like we're doing something great, and then we get to heaven, we stand before God, and Jesus says this, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." The Bible says that people will literally say, "I cast out demons in your name. I healed the sick. I did everything." He said, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, because I never knew you." You were busybodies, but you never combined it with faith. And when you combine it with faith, faith is a lifeline and a relationship builder with Jesus Christ. And so when I've got faith, if I really got faith, I'm going to be about the Father's business. That's the reason why we give you opportunities to join Reach and the Food Bank and the Great Gobbler Giveaway. It's the reason why we encourage you to run cameras and media and usher and join the praise team, all of those things. Why? Because you are giving and working and serving, doing something unto God. Your faith is so strong that it won't let you sit there every Sunday and every Wednesday, but you say, "I got to get busy because I want to stand before God and let Him say, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want you to come in. I want you to adjust. To join me in paradise.'" Proverbs 6:6. "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise." The ant, smallest, one of the smallest creatures on planet Earth, yet it teaches us the greatest lesson, that you work to prepare for what is coming. I work to make it into the promised land, but I also work to prepare so that I'm never at the world's hand when it comes to famine. It doesn't matter what the economy does. If it goes high, if it goes low, doesn't matter if interest rates drop or they skyrocket, I'm like the ant. I've worked myself into a position that I'm not held hostage by the seasons of life. I love that. I love that God gives us the ability to work hard, that the Spirit gives us the information and being intuitive so we know what to do. There is something that's getting ready to happen in Comal and Guadalupe County. I don't want to get into the political side of it, but I told a buddy of mine, I said, it's time that we start buying riverfront property and lakeside property because something's about to happen. That stuff's going to go to 10% of what it's worth, and we're just going to sit on it, and we're going to become multimillionaires after that thing comes back. It's time for us to be like the ant, always looking for opportunities to put our hand in something and to work it so that we can be what God has called us to be. And this is what I want. I want you to have the same contracts that my sister had so that you can fund the kingdom of God, so that you can build orphanages, so that you can dig wells, so that you can buy Bibles, so that you can help us do what God has called us to do. We need to be like the ant, not the grasshopper that's just out there living life, jumping around from day to day, church to church, club to club, woman to woman, everything, job to job, and then they're surprised when they wake up and they're in the unemployment line because they refuse to work. Some of us are on the unemployment line when it comes to the spiritual thing. We have to ask God for handouts because we have not created revenue. And listen, I quit saying revenue streams. I want revenue rivers. Come on now. We serve an abundant God. I'm looking for ways that God's going to bless me. It's a funny thing, and I'm going to end with this. It's a funny thing when we look to the Word of God. God always anointed people that already had a job. God called people to do the greatest things in the Old and New Testament, and they were already working. So it wasn't like God was looking in the unemployment line. And I'm not hating anybody that's unemployed right now, but I'm saying don't be unemployed for more than just a few weeks, a few months. Get a job, any job. "Well, I can't find a job." No. You can't find the job you want. Can I just burst your bubble? 90% of the people in here today are working a job that they wish they had a better job or a different job, but they're working a job that pays the bills right now. I always encourage young people, don't quit a job until you got another job lined up. The best people to hire are people that are already working, not people that are out of a job, because I always wonder, why are they out of a job? If they really brought something to the table, they probably wouldn't be unemployed. I'm probably stepping on some toes right now. I'm just telling you how I look at it as a business owner, as an employer. And so thank you very much for that. So I find it interesting that God calls, that God anoints the greatest men in the Bible, and they already had jobs. You look at Moses. We look at Moses as the great deliverer. Before Moses was a great deliverer, he worked for his father-in-law. Now, I love Ron. I don't want to work for Ron. That's my father-in-law right there. Right there, the big dude. That's why I treat Mandy so nice. Moses worked for Jethro for 40 years shepherding sheep. While he's shepherding sheep, God said, there's the man that I'm going to use to deliver all of Israel out of captivity. Deliverance came because he had a job shepherding sheep. He didn't say, God, well, if you're going to use me, then I need to go to Bible school and seminary, and I need to figure out how I'm going to hold the staff and how I'm going to strike the rock and how I'm going to speak, and maybe you need to send me to speech therapy and get this stutter resolved. He said, nope, I'm going to work, and I'm going to be the best shepherd I can be on the sheep of my father-in-law's pasture, and when you call me up for promotion, I'm going to be ready to lead. I'm going to be ready to talk to Pharaoh. I'm going to be ready to split the Red Sea. I'm going to be ready to lead them through the wilderness and get them to the promised land. Can I encourage you, be a Moses. Shepherd where you're at, and God will elevate you. Deliverance came from somebody that was out there with sheep manure all over him because he worked where he was at. David, another shepherd. David's shepherding sheep in his father's field. His father is ignoring him, has forgotten about him, but he is to be the next king of Israel. One of the greatest military strategists of his time, of any time, is David, and no one knows who he is. David is not mentioned by name ever. He's just out there shepherding those sheep, doing what he's called to do, fighting off the lion, fighting off the bear. He's working. And let me tell you something. For little David to fight off that bear and lion with his bare hands, I'm here to tell you, he put his hand to the plow and he did the best he could where he was at. And guess what he got for working hard as a shepherd? He got anointed. Your anointing lies on you shepherding where God has placed you. If you want to be anointed, work hard where you're at. If you want to be anointed, work hard in your geometry class. 10th grader. If you want to be anointed, work hard at that entry-level position. If you want to be anointed, put your hand to the plow and don't look back. Gideon was threshing wheat on the threshing floor when God found him. Gideon said, I'm from the least likely tribe. I'm from the poorest tribe. I'm from the most infamous tribe. You can't use me. God said, no, I can use you because you're working. And as long as you've got a work ethic, he said, once I get involved with your work ethic, we're going to be able to defeat the Midianites with just a few hundred people. Little did Gideon know that God was looking over the entire earth through every tribe, and he found little Gideon sitting Indian style, crisscross applesauce on the threshing floor, threshing wheat, and God said, there's my man. He didn't look to the palace. He didn't look for kings. He looked for somebody that was working hard where they were at with what they had. And when he found Gideon, he said, get yourself up and get ready, because I'm getting ready to bring deliverance. I'm getting ready to bring a victory. And Gideon's victory depended on how good he threshed wheat. This is amazing to me. All of these great men in the Bible, God finds them. Elisha was plowing the field. Had his 12 yoke of oxen, 24 oxen. Elisha's just out there minding his own business. And I'm sure that sometime along the Spirit had said, hey, you're going to be great. You're going to be the successor to a great ministry. You're going to do twice the things that Elijah did. The mantle is on the line. And Elisha's not chasing title or position. He's just pushing the plow. He's just getting to work. He said, I know God's going to find me. If I work hard enough, God's going to find me. The man of God's going to find me. Can I encourage you? Grab that plow. Don't look back. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't look at what other people are doing. Don't look at the people who fizzled out. Don't look at the people who are like a shooting star rising out of nothing. Just put your hand to the plow and do what God has called you to do. Why? Because there's a double mantle that is waiting on you. A double mantle of anointing. A double mantle of favor. A double mantle of the miraculous. And it all depended on little Elisha out there pushing the plow. And God said, I see somebody who's not afraid to work, and so I see somebody that I'm not afraid to work with, to work through. Peter was a fisherman. Remember when Jesus found Peter, what was he doing? Mending nets, cleaning nets. Peter's messed up, but he worked hard. Check this out. Peter worked hard and didn't even have anything to show for it. But Jesus said, man, if he'll work that hard for fish, if I can get him fishing for men, I'm going to do something great in that man. Peter becomes the voice to the Gentiles. I perceive that God is no respecter of person. In the house of Cornelius, Peter speaks up and 3,000 people, Gentiles, in one moment get filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, all because he mended nets well and he worked hard. Paul was a tent maker. We never preach about that. Before he became Paul, he was Saul the tent maker. Just out there sewing tents, putting tents together. Little did we know that as he sewed tents, the plan that God had for him, that I'm going to make him a voice to the Jews. He's going to write 2/3 of the New Testament. Most preachers are going to preach from his letters every week on Sunday morning. Books are going to be written about him. People are going to be saved because of him, all because he made good tents. What's your excuse? You say, well, I'm over here working at Hobby Lobby. All right, tent maker. Time to do something great. I'm over here working at Burger King. All right, you're tending to the sheep or the beef. Do something. Get ready to do something great. Stand on your feet. One more. Jesus. You ever wonder why Jesus was a carpenter? We always see those cute little pictures of Jesus at 5 and 6 years old. The people have painted, and he's playing with something that Joseph made him. Before the miraculous, before he stepped in his role as Messiah, he worked in that carpenter shop of Joseph's. Not till he was 10, not till he was 18. I believe he worked there till he was 30.